Okay, well, good morning. It's a blessing to just sit there and listen. Probably would rather prefer that. A lot of thoughts. I walked in here, and this is all new. We wasn't here last Sunday. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a body. I would express some of them same thoughts as what Martin shared. It seems like as time goes on and you can have a less appreciation for your brothers for some reason. I'm not sure why it is. But I'm thankful for the body here today. There's nowhere else that I'd rather be today. And I'm thankful for that. I'd like to have a word of prayer if we could, maybe. Maybe we could rise, those of you that can, and maybe Leroy Nolte, he could. You want to pray? Go ahead and pray. I don't know, I thought as I studied yesterday and Friday evening, again, it's just, you know, any man can sit there and think of thoughts and write down scriptures and write down thoughts and et cetera, whatever. But unless the Lord gives life, we may as well just stay sitting. That is my heart this morning. This morning, quoting from 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord be unto you. And I pray I can be here today with all of us as we listen to the Word of God. As Leroy mentioned in his prayer, all these thoughts that I'm sharing today in Scriptures, you've heard them many times before. Many times before. But I was just reminded a few evenings ago, I found myself in a meeting that I haven't been in for many years. And I wasn't sure why we went, but after we went, I knew why. It reminded me of a lot of things. Today, if you give it a title, I'm just going to call it the Word of God. That's it, the Word of God. The inspired Word of God that you have in your lap this morning. That's what it's about this morning. My heart today is that I would consider the Word of God, its merit, its sureness, its truth, its convictions, its power, and etc. As I said a few evenings ago, this was stirred in my heart. Down through the ages of time, men have done many good things and said many good things and taught many good things. And many times, I may repeat myself here, but you hear people that will often talk about God. They often refer to the man upstairs or God. But you know, and that's good. But Jesus Christ and the Word of God is what many miss. Many miss. In the meeting that I was to the other evening, I came away and I wrote on my piece of paper, where is Jesus Christ and His power? You know, His power. You know, it's God the Father, His Son, the Lord Jesus, that gives us victory, that gives us strength to be free from sin and to be overcoming. And that was my heart as I come away from there. I was thinking of the Word of God, and many things were shared there, but I did not see one Bible, not one Bible. And I was thinking about that. You know, it's like, thank you. It's like putting a building up without a foundation. You know, we can talk about God or the man upstairs and make a reference to the Bible or whatever, but unless His fullness, His Word with Christ and everything about it is with us, and that's our message and that's who we are, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Yet, I just said many things were said down through the ages, yet the Word of God and Jesus Christ, His Son, have not had true preeminence in all things. Thus, in a short time, many a good beginning has turned aside and become partial truths, unclear direction, worldly passions, and the end result in that many people who own or claim to believe, they preach the Word of God, yet not really in love with it, it's not really who they are, and do not steadily read it and study it. I'm well aware that I will touch only the surface of these things. I say the Word of God, and then I have like five or six points, whatever, of certain things of the Word of God. And I know there is many, many others, hundreds of others. So I these are the ones that came to me, and I felt led to share on them, and I trust it'll be a blessing. Again, I know it's not anything you have heard. You've heard it before, but that's okay. And may the God of heaven help myself and us truly to know Him through His Word. And then I wrote, the only way to really know the author is to read and study and understand the book. The only way to really know the author, that being Jesus Christ, is to read, study, understand, and have pray over this book and read it. That's the only way we'll know that author. It's Jesus Christ. And I know, again, many of you do these things more than I do, I'm sure. And I'd like to read just a few scriptures. If you care, you can turn to these maybe. It'd be a blessing, I think. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1 to 5. I'd like to just read a few short scriptures here. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice the Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word. In Psalms 33, verses 6 to 9, again, you can page there if you'd like. You don't have to. Psalm 33:6-9. It says this: By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. There's a song that there's a group sings that I would have almost loved to play it. But it's like the word of God. When he spoke, it happened. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, it's the word of God. And then, so I'll read in Genesis chapter 1, just a few verses there. Genesis chapter 1. We all know what this is about. It says, In the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. You know, I tried to imagine that a little bit. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. It was light. The sun had not been created yet, but there was light. And he called the light day, the darkness night. And then down in verse 6, And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God said it, and it happened. Down in verse 9, he says, And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God said it, and it happened. Verse 11, And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding her fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. God said it, and it happened. Verse 14, And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for seasons and signs. For signs and for seasons and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God said it. God said it. Down in verse 20. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it, and it was good. He said it, and it happened. Down in verse 24, And God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God said it, and it happened. In verse 26, And then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And God said it, and it happened. And that's just to basically kind of help myself, help us all to see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Christ was with God in the beginning. I am thankful to be reminded that we are to reverence and honor and worship, seek after the one and only Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful this day that only truly in Jesus Christ is redemption, forgiveness, freedom from sin, victory over sin, freedom from the lusts of the flesh, and a life of purity, a life of holiness, a life of joy, a life with conviction. These and many, many more are in the true Word of God, namely in Christ. Whether you or I acknowledge and or experience these things or not, they and many more in the Word promised to us May we find all in Him. My burden that I feel God has placed in my heart to share today. In most places you go, there's a mention or acknowledgement of God. However, when it comes to Christ and His words, His precepts, His promise, the promise of forgiveness and victory, it seems to lack. It seems to lack. We've seen it many times in our own people. It just seems like when you begin to speak about Jesus Christ, it's just different. People can't do it. They can't do it. But I couldn't either. I couldn't either until I gave my heart to Him. Then we can. Then we can. Whether we've been a Christian for some time or perhaps have grown up in a Christian church or setting, the tendency seems to be to neglect the Word of God. You know, that's part of the burden that I've been sensing it just in my own heart, is just reading the Word of God, just studying it, trying to gain life and strength from day to day by it. Because otherwise, I don't have it. I don't have it. In fact, it seems to be without that, there's just, it don't work out well. It don't work out well for anyone. Point number one, I just got a few points here. Just things, again, that you know, and I'm sure maybe they'll be strengthened in you. Number one, the sure Word of God. The sure Word of God. You know, the word sure is something that's solid. It's something that is certainty. It's without doubt. Doubtless. It's something that's there. It's settled in our hearts. Matthew 24, verse 35 says this way, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Mark 13, 31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Luke 21:33 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You notice it's verbatim, word for word, and it's written in red. Let's remember that. Words from our Lord Jesus right there. 2 Peter 1:17 to 21. Again, you're welcome to turn. I have these scriptures here. It's up to you. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." And verse 19 says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." A more sure word of prophecy than even that back then. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." It didn't come by a private man. It's the inspired Word of God. "He spoke, and it was done." And what a blessing we have to have this here. It's a blessing. There's people that don't have it. And my understanding in China, people that are praying for it, even today maybe, and they don't have the Word of God. But we have it. "He spoke and it was done." We have it here today in our possession. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. A simple short verse in Psalm 119, 89 and 90, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, For all are thy servants. For all are thy servants. And I just thought about that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, it's like man can do whatever he wants. They can twist it. Men have debated over the scriptures for years. You know, one says this means that. The other one says, no, it means this. And they've divided churches over that. But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let it be that way. That's what the scripture says. And, you know, so I'll get to that maybe. First Kings 8, I saw this and I'm not sure why I even have it in here, but I'll read it. First Kings 8:56, it says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. Okay, here it is. Yeah, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Again, the word of God never fails. It never faileth. Psalm 111, verse 7, it says, the works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They're sure. I have a lot of scriptures on this first point, but I thought, you know what, maybe the most important point of the day. The word of God is sure. And in Matthew 5, verse 18, it says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And I just wrote at the bottom of this point, this must be settled in my heart, in our hearts. In order for us to have faith, you know, in order for us to have faith through the trying times, like Brian shared, and I'll be the first to say that under trying circumstances, sometimes I don't do the greatest. I'm working and I'm trying to grow more and all those things. But sometimes when trials come, but it's the sure word of God. It's his promises that are still there, regardless of what happens. May we never forget. May I never forget. Maybe some of you, is there somebody that has a thought on Jonas? When you think about the sure word of God, what do you think about? Stephan, what about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it's so simple, but yet sometimes I tend to forget. What about you, Nelson? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Point number two, the unchangeable word of God. It's somewhat of the same thing, but I just thought about, we are in a society of change, a society that is driven by change. I mean, driven by the next new thing. It is just, it's amazing. The next new thing, the latest vehicle, the latest phone, the latest fad or fashion in clothes or dress, the list goes on and on and on and on. And people just swallow these things, just swallow up the next new thing. And in my heart today, for me and myself, and for all of us here, that we're not a people of change. I mean, there is good change. Yes, there is. but just a people maybe given to change, where everything comes along the block, just breathe it in, take it in. You know, we can't do that. It's against the scripture. The Word of God does not support that. The Word of God talks about faithfulness and truth. And, you know, often it's, I think about this. History, you know, years ago, men have interpreted the scripture to say this, and they lived their lives out according to this pattern. And sometimes I wonder, you know, we're, you know, many, you know, 2,000 years from the time of Christ, it's all past. And times have changed, societies and cultures have changed, but I still believe that no matter if it was 2,000 years ago or if it's today in 2019, if a man and woman, lady, whoever, if you seek God in all honesty and humility and seek the Word of God, there will be a resemblance. There will be a resemblance of us today just like it was back then. And we will stand out. We will stand out for sure. Will be different than a majority of people. It'll stand out. And in a good way. You know, I say in a good way. Okay, all these things have changed, but God and His eternal Word has not changed. And I wrote this, I already said that men have debated over the Word. And it's just, yet in my heart, it seems that if we all, in all humility and with an open heart, seek the Lord for directions and answers, there can be some very common ground which all the true saints of God from many years past until today can have something in common. Because someday we'll be with them in heaven, by the way. Proverbs 24, verses 20 and 22, it says this, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." That's what the scripture says. "And meddle not with them that are given to change." Meddle means to just mingle or to be with or to spend much time with. Don't do that with them that are given to change. "For their calamity shall suddenly rise, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" That's the scriptures. In Malachi 3, 1 to 6, I saw this and thought I would read it. And you would be welcome to turn there. Why don't we just turn there? I think that's a blessing. Malachi 3, 1 to 6, if you want to anyway. This is just a picture of God and His Word and His unchanging precepts that all of us will be tried by someday. And these words in here, in the Handel's Messiah, there's a song that talk about this or go through this, through these verses. And nevertheless, I've seen many, many, you know, I guess you'd call it performances of that. And I look at the people and I wonder, you know, really, you know, do we really love God? Are we? Let's read this scripture. Malachi 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and they that turn aside the stranger from the right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. And verse 6 is what just brought me to this scripture. For I am the Lord, and I change not. I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And I just was thinking about that. You know, again, men have interpreted the scriptures in many ways, and they feel they are right. They feel they've got it. And may we in humility have confidence. May we in humility have confidence. Because someday he will come as a refiner's fire. And one thing I do like in the Handel's Messiah, when the guy sings about the refiner's fire, it's a bunch of violins that are just, it sounds, you know, it just sounds just refining. I mean, it is just clashing and refining. There's something happening there when they talk about the refiner's fire. Someday, the God that does not change will come, and he will try us. He'll try all of us. And I'm thankful for Christ and his blood that he has redeemed us. But as we go through life, we have choices to make. Choices lead to consequences. And unfortunately, it's not a one time that you've accepted Christ and you're making it to glory. That's not, it's just, you know, history has shown that. We've seen it many times. People begin, but something somewhere happens. And off the narrow way. And it begins very slowly, just very slowly. A little here and a little there. And may God help us in humility. To stay on the narrow way. I was just thinking that years ago, we had some truth, and I thought I had some truth, and I did have some truth, but I think we were pretty proud about it. That's what I think. I think I was pretty proud about it, and I wasn't broken. It's one thing to have the truth and humility. On our knees, Lord, we're yours. I just wrote there. Though men have changed, and perhaps we have changed, yet one day that one word, the capital word, who has not changed. He will refine, he will sift, he will purify according to his divine standard. And here it is. This is the word. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2, they say this. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That is how I think. That is how I think. You know, for the centuries of time, men have said, I'm right. I've got it figured out. This is, I see it in the Bible, and this is my way, and I'm going to go that way. And it don't matter what you think. Another brother says, I see it the other way, and I'm going this way. Maybe it's a big split over baptism, immersion, or pouring, or some of those things may not really matter. But this is where I think we can rest here. How do we know that we're interpreting the Scriptures correctly? How do we know? I think this is a key. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at this word of God. I think God sees that. And I think he'll lead that man. I think he'll lead us. In fact, I don't think, I know. I know he will, because he promised he would. Just a quote on this last thing I wrote down here. I just wrote down, if we are subject to always change and or follow change, there will at some point be casualties. That's how it works. Point number three, conviction by the Word of God. Conviction by the Word of God. The word convicted, conviction, whatever, it's only one time in the Scripture. Somebody know where that's at by any chance? Where's that? That's right. John 8, verse 9. It's only one time in the Scriptures. I'll read it to you. And so they were standing there. This woman was guilty. And they said, she's guilty. She needs to be stoned. Brought her to the master, told him that. And what do you say? And Jesus began to do something very unique. He began to write. He wrote in the ground. He wrote on the ground, the Scripture says. And I'm sure it had something to do with these men and their own hearts, their own condition of their soul. Because it says this, and they which heard it, well, I think Jesus wrote on the ground, then he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone, or something in that order. And then it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And we might as well finish it too. What does it say, Alvi, after that? And then what? That's right. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. But convicted, I kind of looked it up, and there's kind of two. You know, when somebody goes to the court of law and they've committed a felony, like that happening last week about that the Amish man there, that's just a very, it's really a situation there. But, you know, he was convicted by the court of law. That means the law says this, and you did this, and you are guilty. He was convicted and thus sentenced. And it's final. He was convicted. But another word, if you look up this word in the Greek, the other meaning to this is also, somebody else know what it is? Anybody? Leroy? Anyone? Jonas? Amen. That's exactly right. Convinced. Convinced. If I looked it up in the 1828 dictionary, it doesn't say that. But I looked it up in the Greek, the concordance word or number went back and it talks about convinced. Convinced. And so that's, you know, that's what my heart is on this point. Let's just go here. I'll just try to stay with my notes. I just wrote all the men were convicted by the words that Jesus wrote on the ground. They heard and they saw the perfect standard by which all they were proved and condemned to be guilty. They hung their heads and walked away. Convict, to determine the truth, to prove guilty, to convince of sin, as by the conscience. And in the Greek word is conviction, is convinced. And I'm just going to go across both of those meanings a little bit. Where one has heard and read the perfect standard, the word, and thereby his or heart says, I have proved and tried and tested his word, and I am convinced to follow it no matter what comes. I have proved it. I have tried it. I have read it. I've seen history. And thereby I am convinced and fully persuaded that I'm going to follow that by the grace of God. It's going to take some tenacity, if you want to say it that way, or some vigor or something to say I'm going this direction. It don't matter what everybody else does. Maybe as a church, and I was thinking about them fibers that Martin had there. You know, one thing them fibers need to have in common, they need to be pretty much identical with one another. They need to have the same heart and vision together. They need to be somewhat the same size. They can't be one big and one real small. They're all the same size, and they're all intertwined together, and they're all made a solid rope that probably Martin said two vehicles couldn't tear it apart. And that's the church. You know, it can't be that I am convinced and I'm doing my thing. And neither can Brother Dan back here, or Brother Alvy, Brother Solly. We all have them times when we think this or that. But I think it's a dangerous road if we, in humility and the fear of God, together, can't blend our hearts together and become convinced, become convicted on a certain thing, whatever it might be. The word says we're two, what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. I think God honors where brethren gather together and they say, this is what we'd like to do. And they, so to speak, they blend their little strands all together and they go together. It's a strong rope. It's a powerful witness. It's a powerful witness. But when we have a brother this way that's, you know, heavy on this side of the rope and another one that's smaller, and you know, it won't work out very well. And to the world, the testimony is not well either. It's not well. And a couple questions. I just wrote these down for myself and all of us here. Just you take them and you consider, do you have convictions? Do you have convictions? Do I have convictions? Am I fully persuaded that when the Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, am I persuaded, am I convinced that it really means what it says? What does it mean? I think of conviction. I think when we are convicted of something and we develop a conviction, they grow and we look at the Word of God, we look at history. I think it's always good to look at history the way it seems. I was really blessed with what Alan shared here a couple weeks ago. Just, it's amazing. It's amazing what history will tell us. And then I just wrote this, you know, do we have convictions? Then the question I said, are they based in the Word of God? And are they there? Or is it just my preference? It's possible. Men have all kinds of preferences, you know. Is it based in the Word of God? And I know I can be touchy ground, but I feel again like if we in humility are willing to tremble at his word and pray, I think God will give us direction. I think it'll be a good direction. I think I'm convinced of that. Okay, so here's the second last question. Kind of a long question. Listen close. Is it important or does it matter if my children develop / interpret convictions of how to live or believe the Word of God differently than myself. Does that make sense? In other words, does it matter? Is it okay if your child grows up and he begins to interpret the Word of God? And I'm talking about spiritually, yes, but externally, how we interpret the Scriptures to live. You know, when Dad says, "I'm convinced this is what the Lord would like me to do," son comes along and says, "You know what? I don't think I'm doing that. For some reason or another, I don't think that's necessary." Sometimes I wonder about that. Sometimes I wonder about that. And I don't have the answer. Because we see it again and again and again. Father is here. Sons say, "I'm sorry, but I'm not doing this or that. I'm not going to do that. Dad does it this way, but I'm doing another way." And I know there's place for change. I know there's room for variation. But as a general whole, what a blessing if your sons come alongside of you and they say, "Dad, I want to be just like you." If you're a young man or a young lady in here, and you do things, and I'm talking about external things. If you do things different than your mother and your father, make sure that's okay with God. Make sure that's okay. In my heart, I'm convinced if that doesn't matter, and the question I have is, what will it look like in 10 or 15 years? Again, we can put it aside, you know, it's fine. But don't forget, history has proven it again and again. I just say this in humility. I don't have it figured out. Again, the last question says it this way: do our convictions follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus in simplicity and humility? Again, there's been many interpretations of how the Christian life should be lived. But again, a man that feareth God and trembleth at His word, I think it's a safe place. I think God, I know God will definitely lead us and give us direction and peace. And that question I asked you, young people, just consider that deeply. Just consider that and remember, if you decide, "I'm going to do it different than Dad and Mom," just make sure that God will bless you there. Okay, let's move on here. Number 4, it says it this way: salvation by the Word of God. Salvation by the Word of God. Throughout the history of time, since the time of Pentecost, when and wherever God's word is reverenced, it's upheld, it's preached in sincerity and in truth, conviction comes by the Holy Spirit and shows us just where we are in the light and mirror of God's holy and inspired word. It shows us just who we are and helps us to see our great need of a salvation that saves us from eternal damnation and washes us clean. I this point, I wrote it down and I began to think, oh, well, I wonder why should we, what's necessary about this? But I don't know. I'm not sure. It was there and I felt like the Lord wanted me to study it out a little bit. And maybe for the reason that there's someone sitting here that's not saved, that's not been born again, that hasn't experienced life in Christ, it's a really good chance. It's a really good chance. And again, I know we live in a society where people raise their hand for Jesus. They raise their hand for Jesus, and yes, they're saved, you know, they go on. But nothing really ever changes. Nothing really ever changes. Let us read just a few examples in the scriptures. I know there's many more, and I know you brothers could speak on this in a much clearer way than I can. But turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Just a couple. My heart went to these, and I like to just read them. It's quite a bit of scripture. But I think, again, it's the Word of God. It's been given to us to read. And it doesn't matter how many times we read it. We need to read it again and again. It won't hurt us. It'll actually be a blessing for us. Acts 2. Let me see here. So, in my notes, sometimes. How many of your brothers, sometimes you have a challenge reading your own writing at sometimes. I'm not sure if it ever happens, but get in a hurry and you can't hardly. So I have written down here 32 to 38 in Acts chapter 2. This is after Peter, the first message that was preached on the day of Pentecost. We'll see what happens. 32 to 38. I'll just break in on part of his sermon. He says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, Peter says, that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ." Verse 37, look at the response of the people. And this is what I think at times will differentiate between true conversion, or at least a part of it, will differentiate between true conversion or that just raise your hand and I'm saved conversion. Let's see what happens. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles," they asked this question, "Men and brethren, what shall I do?" "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And I appreciate verse 40 as well. It says this, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." You know, it sounds real short there, repent and believe and be baptized. But I think Peter preached probably a whole lot more than that. Probably preached a lot more than that. I think it's safe to believe that. So it's not just raise that hand. It's not just that. Okay, so I just wrote, after and only after the Holy Spirit from heaven came down and baptized the apostles, they began to preach the first sermon recorded. The response was amazing. It was this, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 9, verses 1 to 6. We'll look at a man there. Somebody tell me who this is about. Paul, Saul, exactly. Yeah, let's look at this one. Verses 1 to 6. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." It's like You see this man, I would say, he was a religious man, I think. But he was a proud man. I venture to think, the scriptures don't say this, but most likely a proud man, an arrogant man that was on a mission to get these Christians. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Or in other words, go against what I'm trying to work out in you. And this is the point here. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? What wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said, Arise. I had a picture of this. It's like this man that was so proud and so much on the way. God brought him down to a place where he looked up and said, Lord, what do I do? And for 3 days, he had no food, no water. He couldn't see. And I began to think about that. What went on in 3 days? What went on? You know, God worked on him, worked on him. And yet it took another man. God told Ananias, go talk to him. And Ananias, I think it is, he said, you know, I'm not going to go. But he said, go, because he's my chosen vessel. And it took Ananias to say, come. And he did what, he submitted himself to man again. And he said, what shall I do? Okay, one more time. Let's go down to Acts 16, 25 to 34. I know we know these scriptures, but they're in the scriptures and they're there for us to read. Acts 16, 25 to 34. Let's just break right in. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and I want to interject in there. I think they probably preached too. That's just my surmising. I don't know that. I don't say it here. But I think they preached. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword out and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Pay attention to the next verse. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, What did he say? Somebody? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And there again, I think true salvation, if a heart comes to that and says, What will I do? What do I do? Maybe even asking your dad and mom, your ministry, what will I do? It's done with me. I need you. I need some direction. In the darkness of midnight, as Paul and Silas preached and sang and prayed the word of God Almighty, this man heard them beloved words and was touched and moved to the point that he came in and asked that question, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm not going to read it in Romans 10, but I'll just read something here. The righteousness which comes by faith, if we confess and truly believe with all our heart, we shall be saved. That's what the scripture says. It does not matter who we are, because of the richness of God is unto all that call upon him. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then I just wrote, of all these things that we've talked about here thus far, let none of us put off what God says about salvation. Don't miss it. Because for sure, we're not promised tomorrow. We were down at Tennessee, Smoky Mountains, last week, and I forget which day it was, Friday or Saturday. They had a rainstorm. We were in a little cabin, and it was raining so hard. It rained very, very hard for probably an hour and a half. I don't know. But there's a little road that goes, well, not a little road, it's a highway that goes between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. And we heard a bunch of sirens afterwards, didn't know it. till we went down there, or we read it in the news then. But there's a man driving along that road in all this rain. There's a rock slide came off of that mountain with a tree and killed him just like that. Right there. We're not promised tomorrow. That's the point. We're here today. Tomorrow may never come. Help me to believe that. Number five, real quickly here. The Word of God is our only hope. And I just have one scripture and one thought on this, and I'll move to the last point. By staying in the Word of God, reading it regularly, and I put in parentheses right behind that, Lord, help me first. To just read the Word of God. Read it. It don't take much time. You can read quite a bit of scripture in a short time. Read it. Understand it. Pray that God will give us understanding so that we may know where we stand in the scriptures. And then I just wrote, holding to it like a drowning man to a lifeboat. It's our only hope. And I wrote this thing again. How will we know the author, Jesus Christ, if we don't read and study the book? Just a question. I remember my thoughts went back a number of years over here. I was born and raised across the road here. And I was not married. And I had become born again. And how I would just sit there and read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Just read it and read it. Every morning before I went to work, I read the Bible. Read the Bible. And then I look today, 15, 17 years later, and Jesus said it this way. He said, blessed are ye when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And God needs to stir a hunger in my heart. God needs to stir a hunger in my heart. But I think that hunger may come and will come if we just read his word. It'll come. I think I'll just read the one verse, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Point number six. I'm going to kind of go through it as quickly as I can as well. I had number five as the last one. And this morning, that changed. I wrote number six down. I wasn't sure. I didn't think about it until this morning. But I thought, I told the Lord, I'll try to go through this just a little bit. Number six, purity, sobriety, discretion, chastity, and holiness by the Word of God. Again, there's so many things that you could do and you could add to this. But 1 Peter 1:13-16, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And I thought, wherefore? Wherefore means because of something we just said prior. And I was thinking of all these things we've been thinking about, the Word of God. It's sure, it's steadfast. And because of all those things, gird up the loins of our minds. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because of all the things and many more that we've discussed, let us gird up our minds, be sober, read the Word of God, not be ashamed to live in accordance to it, no matter what the majority says or does. Develop convictions that are in the Word, and in humility, and maybe on our knees, say, Lord, I'm going that way. I want to go that way. Help me to stand. Purity, free from moral defilement, without spot, incorrupt, holy, genuine, real, true, unadulterated, as pure religion. Matthew 5, Jesus said it this way about purity. Somebody know what it says? Matthew 5, 8. John? Amen. That's the first words I thought of. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's just what it means. And we could make it the opposite. We could say, "Unblessed are they with an impure heart, for they shall not see God." In the German, it says, Selig sind die, what is it, Joe? Do you know? What's that? I can't hear you. Reines Herzen sind, denn sie sollen Gott schauen. I think that's what it says. But Selig is saved. I think of saved. So you could say unsaved. You know, are the impure in heart. They won't see God. That's what this word says. 2 Timothy 1:3 says this, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night." Paul told Timothy that. Paul was saying, "I have a pure conscience." James 1:27, "Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." That's what the Bible says. Okay, sobriety, seriousness, solemn, grave, habitual freedom from enthusiasm, inordinate passion, or overheated imagination. That's a lot of words. Gravity, without sadness or melancholy. I thought about that. You know, we can be grave and sober-minded, but we don't have to be mad. Without sadness or, you know, deadness. But I think God's people as a whole, you'll find a sober-minded man. I don't mean he can't smile. My wife often tells me sometimes, you know, you need to smile. You know, smile a little more. So I do try to do that. So, and smiles are catching. When I smile, you all begin to smile too. So there's joy in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But gravity and seriousness is important. 1 Timothy 2, 9 to 10, it says it this way. Okay, so in the like manner. Okay, so this, I'm moving just a bit into you may think modesty, just slightly. I just want to touch it, and I'm not going to say, I told the Lord I don't want to say my words. I want to read his words. 1 Timothy 2, 9 to 10. "In the like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety." That's the word. "Now with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But that which becometh women professing godliness with good works." This is to all of us in our general, our expression, our appearance, our attire, most certainly and definitely says something about myself. All of us, it says something about who we are. Let us not adapt the world's slogan that the heart is all that matters. My brothers and sisters, that is deception. That is deception. Because what's in our hearts, it will come out. For sure. For sure. We can't separate the two. And most, it was a challenge. We went down to Tennessee. I mean, it may have been kind of the wrong time to go, whatever, but I mean, the people and the immodesty was unbelievable. Even on a road up to Cades Cove, some of you might know what that is. I've never been there. We took that road. There's a little creek all along there to try to stop. I wanted to stop with the children somewhere, but we couldn't. We stopped one place. We're down on a rock down there, and a whole family comes down there, just about naked, whatever. We had to leave, and it was unreal. Could have I asked those people if they're Christians? A good chance they might have said yes. That's deception. The Bible says we should not do according to the heathen. Discreet, prudent, wise in avoiding errors or evil, and in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. Circumspect, cautious, wary. Not rash. I always think, And I am probably slow to make a decision. I feel like I'm bad at making decisions. You can ask my wife sometimes. But I don't like quick decisions. And the more that I'm pushed for a decision, the less I'm going to do it. But I just think we need to be cautious. Walk carefully. Humility. Okay, so Proverbs 2:11, it says this, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." In Titus 2, let's just turn to there. It'll be the last scripture. Titus 2:1-8. You can turn with me and I'll read that. Titus 2:1-8. Very familiar scriptures with all of us, I'm sure. I don't know. Would it be possible to read this together? That'd be possible, Steve. Why don't we do it? Let's stand up and let's try to read it together if we can. I know that can be a little bit confusing sometimes, but I'll try to mind the commas and the periods and et cetera if I can. So here we go. Ready? Start together. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men exhort likewise to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." I'll start over, sorry. "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing there. You know, I'm just going to finish my notes here real quickly. Chaste is free from obscenity, genuine, free from barbarous words and phrases, and listen to this, and from quaint, affected, extravagant expressions. Free from those things. I believe that's God's heart. Modesty, I just wrote this note down. Modesty is not, this is for men and ladies, it's for all of us. Modesty is not just covering the skin, but the form. Modesty is not just covering the skin, but the form. In clothing, loud, extravagant, bright, eye-catching, this is not in accordance with the scriptures, and it falls on the other side. It's not in the attributes of God. And I don't know why I this point number six, I did not have it in my notes. But I just bring it to you in humility, and I open myself up and my family for correction. Please come talk to me. May the Lord bless you. Pray for us. If there's anything that was shared that was not correct here, I'm here. I'll definitely hear you and change. So may the Lord bless you.